Hello and welcome. This is the Edcast, the podcast that explores all things educational. My name is Dr. Jim Rogers, and in partnership with the CPD Portal, the single collaboration platform for schools and professional development, we bring you the second series of educational podcasts. I will cover topical educational issues as well as leadership, well-being, resilience, research, and much more. If you are involved in the education and development of others, children or adults, I hope you'll find these podcasts both interesting and challenging. We will draw from a range of guests from both within and outside of education. In this episode of Edcast, I speak to Roz McMullen and Andrew Morris of Headrest UK. Headrest UK is a free daily wellbeing telephone support service for head teachers and CEOs. Both Roz and Andrew have extensive experience as school leaders, as LA school head teachers, as CEOs of Multi Academy Trust, executive head teacher leadership as well. Andrew has been an Ofsted inspector, and both have been national leaders of education. And they work with Peter and Kenny, the four of them providing support for head teachers with experience in primary, secondary, and special schools. I'll provide contact details for Headrest UK at the end of the podcast. So let's listen and hear what they have to say. Hello, good morning. Welcome, Andrew and Roz. Andrew, how are you this morning?
I'm very good, thank you. Lovely to be here.
Very good to have you too. And Roz, how are you?
I'm fine, although the weather's very, very grim, I have to say, up in Yorkshire.
It's grim in York, is it?
It's grim in York.
Yeah, it's a bit chilly in Cornwall, but we don't normally say that, but I'm wrapped up here in this podcast today. It's great to have you both, and we'll talk about the sort of the context and the background for this in a second. But just before I do so, could you introduce yourselves to the listeners and tell us a little bit about yourselves? Andrew, give us a little bit of your background.
Yeah, so I'm Andrew Morris. I'm currently, I suppose, what you'd call a leadership consultant. I took a leap of faith at the end of last year. I left my job as a CEO in a MAT to start my own leadership company. But before that, I've taught in Liverpool, where I was an NQT, and then moved to London to become a head, a couple of schools in East London. So for about 20 years, become a head teacher, culminating in the role as a MAT CEO.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Roz?
Very similar to Andrew, really. I'm secondary teacher by trade. I've been was a head teacher of one sort or another for about 20 years, specialising in schools in challenging circumstances. So I was a local authority head. Then I opened the first academy in Yorkshire, was CEO of a small MAT, and my last job was as the executive principal of four secondary schools in the Midlands. And I was commuting midweek, living away from home Monday to Friday while I was doing that. And so I did the same as Andrew and took a leap of faith. And I work now independently I do coaching mainly of CEOs and executive head teachers and sometimes head teachers as well, and supporting the system where I can.
Excellent, excellent. It's interesting that the three of us have started working independently at pretty much the same time, just prior to this pandemic and just as things sort of really, really kicked off. And I know that that was part of the context, Roz, for your work here with Headrest UK. So we'll come to that in a second. We've been aware of sort of mental health and wellbeing issues in the profession for a long time now. It's sometimes cited as a reason why we have retention issues. And I think for the profession itself, it has to wrestle between the enormous workloads, the constant changing government guidance, and then more recently, the challenge of the pandemic. And I think what's been interesting for us working in the Southwest is that school leaders cited their own staff wellbeing and pupil wellbeing as two areas of concern right at the beginning of the pandemic. And now there's an acknowledgement that we've got a challenge around the leadership well-being as well. Some of those school leaders haven't had a break since sort of February half term. So this is a bit of a special podcast to focus on a really important support service that you offer called Headrest UK. Andrew, tell us a little bit about the service and how it came about.
Well, Headrest UK essentially came from a call from Ros, really. We've worked with each other in the West Midlands and have met on the circuit, particularly with sort of CEO forums that we've been involved with. And we both were aware that, you know, we've enjoyed lots of great support throughout our career. You know, myself in particular, when I first became a head teacher down in London, I was only 29 and I was completely out of my depth. Looking back now, you know, but I think one of the reasons why I got off to a pretty good start was that we had access to some national funding for induction for new head teachers. And it kind of got me thinking that how tough must it be now for head teachers that, you know, rock up in school amidst an international pandemic, and what's out there for them to get the support they need. So when Ros contacted me through a DM on Twitter and said, look, you know, I'm seeing all sorts of problems out there with people calling me up and ringing me and wanting advice. And I was saying, well, I'm pretty much getting the same thing. What can we do about it? And it went quiet for a couple of weeks and kind of thought about it. And then I got back to Ros and said, well, look, let's see if we can just set something up through Twitter, because, you know, both of us are fairly strong on Twitter. So we set up a Twitter feed and put that out there and said, look, you know, DM us and we'll talk to you. And with that came a website that we were able to build as well. And then essentially that was it. So what we wanted to do was to try and give people a mechanism to talk to somebody outside of their own organisation, completely confidentially. But more importantly, someone that had been there and done that, got the T-shirt and was aware of the importance of well-being. Because one of the things that Ros and I know more than anything is that one of the keys to running a successful school, it's not about, you know, being the most intelligent or working the hardest or having the best budget or having the best ideas. It's all about just building great culture and great teams. And all of that starts with you as the head teacher, modelling what good mental health practices are like, what good well-being is all about. But that's almost impossible for heads now, because I think one of the key challenges, and I know, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit further on, is around getting the balance right between the sort of long-term strategy and the day-to-day running of a school amidst the pandemic, where clearly the profession at the moment is not in the slightest bit valued by the government, by the DfE. Ofsted seemed to completely continue to be misreading the room and not helping at all. So unless people like myself and Ros, and there are others out there, by the way, I mean, there are plenty of other really good services that provide a similar thing. I think what's different for Headrest, though, is that people can ring us up and pretty much straight away we can call them. I mean, we had one that came in last night, DM'd them back straight away, and we're talking to them today. So I think it's just that comfort of knowing that we're there if you need them. It's the ultimate sort of safety now, I suppose.
Excellent. I couldn't agree more with all of that. And those themes have come up with the conversation I had recently with Dame Alison Peacock of the Charter College and all of the school leaders that we're working with. And of course, having the backgrounds that you both have, you've lived and breathed the jobs for a long, long time. And I imagine you could recognise the challenge around that kind of professional isolation that often happens when you're at the top of a school organisation. But you've alluded to the fact that the pandemic's throwing up sort of fairly unique challenges for school leaders. So, Ros, why is this support particularly important right now? What do you think school leaders are facing?
Well, I think that the job is so different for school leaders at the moment. The job has changed because of the pandemic. So for a head teacher now, the job is keeping your students and your staff safe, keeping your school open, and making sure that everybody is physically and mentally secure. And that is very, very different. Although that's been obviously part of the job, that now is the job in its entirety. They have no time. So what school leaders are telling us, and what we're seeing happening, is that there is just no space at all within the day, within the weekends, within the holidays, for them to do anything other than concentrate on that safety and security of others. And that causes enormous stress for them. So head teachers are really, really concerned that all those other things that they have to do in terms of delivering the school improvement, delivering their strategic plans, preparing for Ofsted, all of those other pressures that are constantly there, that are a major, major part of their job, they just don't have any time for, because all they're doing is concentrating on just keeping everybody else going and managing the current crisis. And that's really difficult because it puts an enormous amount of pressure and stress. And of course, you can't keep everybody happy all the time either. So you're constantly feeling as a head teacher that you're on this treadmill, and what's happening with the real job that you should be getting on with, and constantly feeling that nobody really understands what it's like. And it's true, of course, that unless you have been a head teacher, you can't really understand the pressures of the job anyway. You know, unless you've sat in that chair, it's very hard to have any understanding really of what's going on. But at this time, that's really exacerbated. And there are so many different stakeholders with so many competing priorities that you have to communicate with. And that's just causing an awful lot of stress to heads at the moment.
Mm. And when we talked last week, we talked about, I mean, there's some local authorities that are doing a fantastic job supporting their school leaders. And there's many, many multi-academy trusts that are doing the same. But of course, a lot of local authorities took a big hit in their staffing and funding, and their support services are really limited. And some MATs don't always operate in the way that perhaps we'd like them to. So we do have school leaders facing the other potential kind of isolation, don't we? So that is that something that you're getting a sense of from people that you speak to?
Very much so. There is, I think it's true to say that for everybody who isn't actually running a school at the moment, but who's working in the sector, their roles are very different. So they're trying to carry on and support in the ways that they see fit. So, for example, you've got some MATs where the support is absolutely tremendous and they understand exactly what the heads are going through and they are in their sleeves rolled up helping. But there are other situations where sometimes a head teacher who's right in the middle of really holding staff together and really trying to keep things going in the school in really difficult circumstances, and then the MAT is wanting to come in and operate a evaluation of where they're up to on the school improvement plan, or do some learning walks, or effectively do a Mockstead on them, which is just not appropriate and really not helpful. And it's quite difficult for head teachers to manage that situation because obviously they're wanting to maintain the relationships and keep them right with everybody who's supposed to be supporting them. But the people that support them are sometimes not quite getting what that support should look like.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. So, Andrew, I mean, I know that you've been looking at sort of who's been getting in touch and trying to kind of identify emerging themes and patterns. So what are you seeing from your side?
Well, I mean, it's quite interesting because the team behind Headrest, there's obviously us and Roz, and we've got Kenny and Pete as well. And that team was assembled essentially to cover all the bases so that we've got primary, secondary and special. And we've had calls from across that entire spectrum. So there's no kind of one sort of particular phase that's dominating the sort of the key issues out there. But essentially, I mean, Roz just touched on, I think, probably the most dominant theme, and that essentially is within a trust or also within a local authority, but it's about the accountability measures and whether that's really appropriate and necessary at this particular time. So it is around schools wanting to get on with just keeping the school open and keeping the kids safe, but you've got other layers within the organisation that still want to know how you're doing against certain key performance indicators. For example, I had one the other day in regards to the number of exclusions that was going on in the school. You know, perfectly valid reasons, and the head teacher of the school was almost starting to doubt her own abilities as to whether or not she should be excluding. And of course you should, as a head teacher, you know, that's your job, that's what you're paid to do, and obviously providing the exclusion is legally watertight and morally the right thing to do, then of course as a head you've got to do that. So I think what everyone at the moment is just having extreme self-doubt, you know, can I still do this job, am I seeing it through the right lens? And that's ultimately what we try and do at Headrest. It is about trying to recalibrate some of these people and getting them to appreciate that you are doing the right thing. So yeah, the monitoring, whether it's a MAT school or a local authority school, is a tricky one. The other one that's come through is new head teachers then. So, we talked about that earlier on, about my experience when I first started, but it really does seem so hit and miss as to whether or not you get any support at all as a new head. And it's kind of reassuring them that, you know, it's not like this normally. This is just so unusual, and it won't happen again, hopefully, for another century. But reassuring them that, look, if you can get through this next few weeks, if you can get through this first term, anything else that's thrown at you as a head teacher, you know, you're going to find an absolute doddle. You know, even Ofsted will be a breeze compared with trying to deal with keeping a school open through a pandemic. So you'll be amazed at the number of heads that aren't, you know, even given a mentor. They're having to scrabble around themselves to find one. And of course, when they do get one, they can't go and visit the school. They can't meet up. They can't talk. So it's very difficult. And the other one that's come through is also the issue around small schools in particular, you know, where you've got a head teacher who's also got a big teaching commitment and has still got to do every other job that a head teacher does, whether you've got 2,000 pupils or, you know, 20 or 30, you've still got to do all the same forms, all the same returns. Financially, very, very difficult for them as well. And it's how do you balance that? I think one thing that's come through that has been positive has been the role of governors throughout all of this. I mean, virtually every head I've spoken to has always said that they feel, you know, that they're being valued by the governing body. But at the same time, the governors understand that they've got to be seen to be asking the right questions about, you know, are you feeling okay well-being wise? But also we've got to obviously show that we're demonstrating a level of challenge still throughout the pandemic. So it's pretty fraught out there. And I think that's where everybody's just kind of just losing their way a wee bit, which is where I hope that Ros and I can just, you know, even if we just listen and just let them, I don't want to use the word rant, but sometimes it does feel like that. And that's lovely. Yeah. If just somebody ranting down the phone and getting it off their chest is enough for them to feel that they've now got the chance to take a deep breath and go back into battle again, fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you mentioned governors there, and I've spoken to several governors recently, and we have done throughout the last 6 months or so, and it's a very unique challenge for governors as well, as you've described, you know, and it's, I think we've all recognised we're facing new territory through this pandemic, and we've had to make stuff up as we've gone along, but equally it's created a catalyst for some really positive behaviours and positive legacy as well, I hope. And interesting as well, one of the other podcasts I've done is with an ex-colleague of mine, Lee Edmonds, who became a school leader just before the pandemic. So he's had to face exactly as you've just described, and he's doing a really good job. But for anybody new into those leadership roles, it must have been just such a baptism of fire. You know, one of the first things you do is close your school. I mean, that's phenomenal, isn't it?
I mean, I think, so just coming in on, if I may, on that, I think one of the issues as well there, Jim, is that people are running schools and having to do all of the important stuff about, you know, team building, engaging people, but they're doing it all remotely. You know, there's that human to human contact, you know, even just with staff development meetings, it's just not happening anymore. And that in itself is such a unique challenge that is just so unprecedented. And I don't even know I don't know about you, Ros, but I don't know whether I've even got the solutions or the answers to it, to be honest.
No, I think a lot of it is about, letting people talk to us because they know that we understand the job of headship and they know it's safe. They know it's totally confidential. They know they're not going to get a bill for it. And they know that they're talking to somebody who actually understands, and it doesn't matter what they say, and they can just offload it. And then it's reassuring because the people who are doing this, myself, Andrew, Pete and Kenny, because we have so many years of headship experience, we're actually able to provide that perspective, which says, well, actually, yeah, you are doing the right thing. Or if I was faced with that, I'd be thinking about this. And so it's not that we're giving advice. It's that we have experience and we have space to reflect. And so we can absorb the stuff that they're throwing at us, if you like, you know, and telling us about, and filter that throughout our, you know, through our experience to reassure and make suggestions. People are finding that really quite helpful. One of the things that heads need is a space to think, and it's one of the things that they're really not having at the moment. So most experienced head teachers know that you have to take time for reflection, and they know they're not getting it at the moment. And then the new and inexperienced head teachers are not learning how to build that in because they're not getting any time to do it. And so I think that one of the things that we're trying to do is just provide that little bit of an outlet for them, so that we can, you know, we can absorb some of that. I often use the analogy of the sponge. I think that if you're a really good leader, you're a bit of a sponge. If you're a pretty ropey leader, you're just a funnel. And so all the stresses that you have just get funneled onto the people below you. But if you're a sponge, what you're doing all the time is that you're soaking up and dealing with all the difficult stuff that's out there in order to protect and guide the people that you lead. And I think the problem with head teachers at the moment is that that sponge is absolutely sodden, and it needs drying out. And I think sometimes just being able to have a conversation with somebody who really gets that and who has been in that role and who understands that is a really helpful part of that drying out process, so that they feel able to carry on.
So in some ways, I mean, the headrest is essentially the bucket, isn't it, that people just wring the sponge out into.
Exactly.
You know, we don't forensically analyze the water content, just do it and off we go.
I have to say, having looked at your website, I love the website. I love the use of the headrest. I think if you had a bucket and a sponge on that website, it wouldn't look quite as good. But I see. I know what you're saying. And I think it's important to say, so you've mentioned your colleagues, Pete and Kenny, as well. And we didn't make this really explicit at the start, but each one of you has experience in a particular sector of education, don't you? So you've got that sort of that ability to direct that support to a primary or a special school specialist. That's right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when special school heads have been in contact, Peter has done the calls with them because he's a very experienced special school head. And Andrew tends to do the majority of the primary, and I do the majority of the secondary with Kenny. But what we do find is that some of the heads aren't so bothered about, you know, we've got primary heads who say, no, I'm very happy to speak to us. Secondary heads very happy to speak to Andrew, because actually the issues are the same. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think it's just important that people feel they've actually done my job, you know, and so we try to direct calls as much as we can that way.
Yeah. And you mentioned, Roz, as when I spoke to you last week, that the special school head teachers have faced a unique challenge and continue to do so, don't they, in terms of how they manage provision for their children and the stresses that they were under beforehand, but have been sort of, how would you say, sort of magnified over the last few months. So I think it's important to make that mention that you have that, you know, that capacity within your team to provide that support for special school head teachers too.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, they have particular pressure points around the whole safeguarding and also health and safety issues that are just extra layers of real complexity at this time.
Okay, so Roz, how this is an important bit of the conversation. How can people get in touch with you, and also what can they expect if somebody leaves you a message? What's the experience? What can they expect?
Well, there are three ways to get in touch. We're very lucky that we were approached by Navigate, who said, "How can we help?" And of course, we don't have any funding for this. This is just a pro bono service that we've set up. So we said, well, actually, we could do with a free phone number for people. And so Navigate have provided us, have sponsored the free phone number. If people ring the phone, and I'm just trying to remember that number, and Andrew will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's 0800 862 0110. That's right, isn't
perfect.
It?
Yeah.
Yep. If people ring that number, they leave a message. And within a few minutes of them leaving a message, we get an email, a transcription of that message. And we immediately, as soon as we get that, make contact and arrange a mutually convenient time that they can take a call from us. Similarly, people can visit the website, and there is a form on the website that they can fill in. And again, that is immediately forwarded to us, and we can direct a call at a mutually convenient time. Or, of course, there's Twitter, which is our primary way of getting in touch with lots of people. And people follow us and DM, send a direct message. And again, same thing happens. One of us will immediately respond to that direct message and arrange to phone call back.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And I think, you know, just to reiterate this, this is a, I think it's a fantastic initiative, and you're doing it off your own back without funding. It's, I'm really sort of in awe of what you've set up. It's something that we've talked about doing here in the Southwest for a long time now, and have never quite had the catalyst. But I think what you're doing is just so important at the minute. And there's no shame in getting in touch, is there? It's not a sign of failure. It's just a really important thing to do, to be able to talk to somebody and share the issues and the challenges that you're facing.
Absolutely. And it's a sign of strength, really. I mean, my little talk to NQTs always goes along the line of the NQTs that become really successful teachers are the ones that come and say, I don't think I'm coping with this class. I don't think I'm coping with this topic. I don't think I'm coping. Can somebody help me? They always go on to be the best teachers. It's the ones that struggle on in silence that we worry about. Well, I think the same is true of heads. And I have to say, you know, I mean, I was a national leader in education. I think, Andrew, you were as well. And I have to say, even when I was an NLE, I had people who I would ring up and say, hang on a minute, I don't feel I'm coping very well with this. Have I got this right? And I always made sure that I had people I could trust and pick up the phone and, you know, have a rant to, test ideas out on. And I think that is a real sign of strength when people do that, not a sign of anything else. And in fact, we've had one or two messages which are to us, which have said, just knowing that I can ring you, to be honest, has made me feel so much better. I don't need you to ring me this week, and I might not need to ring you to ring me ever, but I feel easier and I'm sleeping better knowing you're there if I do need you.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate insurance policy, isn't it? You know, you know you've got to pay for one, but you just hope you never get to use it. Because, but it's just good sleeping at night knowing that it's there. And it's kind of a bit of a strange business model in some ways, Headrest. If we were to run it as a business, that is that, you know, we ultimately don't want to be that busy, because if we do get run off our feet, then there's something seriously wrong within the profession. And the other thing, of course, just to sort of bring it to a close on this bit, is that with the messages, we have had a number of fantastic people getting in touch just saying, we want to support, we want to help. If you do get inundated with calls, you know, give them my details, and I'll talk to them as well, which is fantastic. So, you know, up and down the country, kind of regionally, we've got a number of people on standby, so that if things do get to the point where we can't cope, then we've got other people there who are very, very ready to, you know, to step up and help out.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. I think that's a really, really positive place to end the conversation. Just to acknowledge the work that you're doing. I think it's so, so important. And please also pass my thanks to Pete and Kenny. And if we can create and support and advocate the work that you're doing as a sort of a national network to support our school leaders, I think it'd be absolutely fantastic. So, Andrew and Ross, thanks for the entertainment just prior to the podcast. I didn't record that, but I kind of wish I had. but it's great talking to you both, and I wish you both a lot of success and a great Christmas break as well.
Likewise. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. All the best to you.
It's been lovely talking to you, James. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thanks for your time. Bye. So really, really great to speak to Roz and Andrew. Both had me in stitches just before the podcast as well. Two really, really nice, very, very warm people. So just to repeat the contact details, just so that you have them. The phone number is 0800 862 0110. Their website is www.headrestuk.co.uk, and there's a contact form on there. They're on Twitter at headrestuk, and their email address is hello@headrestuk.co.uk. So I hope that you found that useful. Do please contact them if you feel like you need to have a chat, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast.